WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
The fictional Abe Froman might be the sausage king of Chicago, but did you know that we also have a sandwich king? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Food Network's Jeff Morrow has been bringing Chicago delicacies into the limelight for over a decade. From 2011 to 2014, he was best known for hosting his Emmy-nominated show, The Sandwich King, which he still rocks a crown for today through his Instagram, traveling around Chicagoland showcasing local sandwiches and giving them six-star ratings.
Okay, I am outside Tribeca's Sandwich Shop right here, corner Belmont, Sacramento. Mickey's Gyros, Harlem Avenue on the Oak Park side. All right, JT's Genuine, heart of Chicago, Irving and Elston. I am here at the corner of Hoyne and Roscoe in Roscoe Village. Just a mound of roast pork on there.
Look at those grilled onions, though. Look at those.
The city that works, and this sandwich works, man. This is so good. Super soft roll, gooey cheese, 5.25 star points here on Sandwich Kingdom, the region, Hoyne and Roscoe. I really like this. This is a great Cuban. I'm going to do 5.189.
Jeff is now a co-host of The Kitchen on the Food Network, and he owns the company Morrow Provisions, where he sells Chicago foods, condiments, spices, mixes, and more. When we talked to Jeff, I had to ask him, why the focus on sandwiches?
Well, I think it's because my first job was, I worked for a butcher shop when I was 15 years old, under the table, $3.62 an hour. That's $3.62 for all you young people when you start complaining about things, how things are. I couldn't afford a house then anyway. But we upgraded down the street to the deli, and that's when I fell in love with not only the act of, you know, building sandwiches, cooking, creating. But I love the deli counter, and I loved a deli slicer and that interaction with the customer, mm-hmm. where I could create and cook, but I can also have kind of, you know, do a little shtick when I hand them over, you know, 3/4 of a pound of honey turkey, perfectly, you know, thinly sliced. So that carried into college, and then I opened a deli in my 20s, but I always performed simultaneously. So my two loves were always, you know, comedy and performing arts and cooking and sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, your career seems really fantastic. And part of what we see that makes you stand out, I think, is how Chicago really seems to be at the center of so much of what you do and what you showcase. So just talk more about your relationship with Chicago, which is where you were born mm-hmm. and raised.
Yep.
Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up, I lived till about 10 in like the Galewood neighborhood, which is like Harlem and Grand. And then we moved, you know, like a mile away to River Forest, like Oak Park River Forest, where I went to high school, OPRF, class of 96. And I just always, my family's from Taylor Street, my family's from Galewood. Then we lived in, with my family, in Elmwood Park for 9 years. So I've lived in the same kind of quadrant, four neighborhoods, Chicago, Oak Park or Elmwood Park.
Yeah.
And it's just so embedded in my family's blood for several generations. You know, my great grandparents, both sides came here from Italy. They all grew up in these neighborhoods, and I've always felt such a strong connection. Mm-hmm. And food is an immense part of that. And it's just an immense part of my family culture.
Yeah.
And I did leave in my very early mid-20s to LA for 4 years to try to make it out there doing comedy. I did the Groundlings, but I ended up going back to school, and I went to culinary school just because I was doing, you know, a lot of videos and calling myself Chef Jeff. And I knew I had this goal of being on Food Network. And like the way to kind of legitimize that was to actually get training and education.
So you went to school. Yeah. Interesting. And so you're specializing in many things, but as we've talked about, you call yourself the Sandwich King. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that show and how you came to become the Sandwich King.
Well, I was dubbed this. It's not a self-assigned title. So I swear, hand to God, you can even see the video. I think it's streaming on Max. You could see when I won towards the end of season 7 of Food Network, star Bobby Flay took a bite of one of my sandwiches and said, "This is the best sandwich I ever had. You are like the king of sandwich." You know what? That's it. That's your show.
Oh,
Sandwich
and
King.
And it stuck.
And it stuck. And that carried me through the rest of the competition.
And what was the sandwich?
It was a kind of like a deconstructed eggplant parmesan.
Mm.
Just like a beautifully fried medallion of like just well-treated eggplant, burrata cheese. You get that gooey stracciatelli with that creaminess in there. Slow roasted oven cherry tomatoes, little pistachio pesto on a butter griddle brioche bun.
Okay,
I mean, it's
okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
I invented it and he took a bite and it was a vegetarian sandwich.
But
you know,
it sounds like it sounds like it had a whole lot more.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this rating system. 6 stars?
Well, you know, the Chicago Flags, you know, our famous Chicago star has 6 points.
Yes.
So, you know.
See, I was going to guess that was the connection.
So we call them star points and there's 6 points in the star. But, you know, sometimes I have such a hard time giving a 4 or a 5. So I want to kind of really, I plan on doing 1 million of these. I don't know. Maybe I'm at 30 of them, 40 of them.
Right.
You know, we need to make it specific. We need to make the true winner stand out even that much more when I assign a high rating and, you know, a decimal point with a couple numbers after it. You know, it's good shtick, too.
I love it so much. So this is clearly your wheelhouse. So you would be the person for me to ask, what are the key elements of a good sandwich?
Great question, Sasha. Well, it's all about, first, you have to start with well-treated or fresh bread. It's the foundation. It's the roof. It's everything of the sandwich. It's the first thing your teeth come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
First thing your tongue, your taste buds come in contact with. So you genuinely need. Now, let's say you go to the grocery store and you buy the bread that comes in a plastic bag. Nothing wrong with that. But it's been there. It's been sitting in the pantry for 3 days. What do? You just make a sandwich with that? No. You take it, get a little soft butter.
Well, geez, Jeff, I feel like you're talking to me here.
Well, maybe it's time for an intervention, Sasha.
I bought some bread days and days ago that I'm still dipping in the bag there.
Yeah, but so dip in the bag. It's still fresh, right? It's got
it's
a shelf life for
I'm
a reason.
I'm keeping it fresh.
But why not just heat up a little like nonstick pan, spread a little soft butter, a little olive oil, give it a little golden brown, you know, griddle on there.
Okay, yeah.
Help give it texture, flavor, and reactivate the bread.
In the reset newsletter, we put out a question. We asked our readers to tell us their favorite sandwich here in the Chicago area. And one person wrote about Bari on Grand and said that the sandwiches there are their fave. So what is your favorite sandwich and from where? I'm going to put you on the spot.
No, Bari is great. Shout out to them. They're, you know, on Grand Avenue, right next to D'Amato's. So they get the bread from right next door. Great ratios on that sandwich. Good Italian sub. Just fantastic. Good jardinera. They don't use our Marl Provisions jardinera on there, which, you know, I hope they would. But they make their own formula, which is great. I'm a big fan of Johnny's Beef on North Avenue in Elmwood Park, which is right across from the city limits. Famous for a reason. I grew up. I went to school across the street. I lived a block away. So when the wind hit right to, you know, northeast, you can smell the charcoal and the sausage grilling in the air and
yes.
the beef. It's just like a great, it's like the best of our, I think, most emblematic sandwich, which is the Italian beef.
Love that. So you've got this company, Morrow Provisions, as we mentioned. This is with your sister, Emily.
Yes,
right?
Emily. Yes. She does work for me.
So you're keeping everything alive on Instagram. Emily is your cinematographer of sorts.
Social media director.
You guys have such a special rapport.
Yeah, we're good. You know what? Emily is my younger sister, and she's kind of been we've been attached creatively probably for our whole lives, but we've worked together since we started our podcast Come On Over almost 5 years ago. And she's my co-host, she's a producer, she's got a TV background, she's a great editor.
Nice.
But she's kind of speaks my language more than any person I know. So that's important with Marl Provisions, especially with our kind of public persona.
Right.
Like if I'm not writing the copy, it's got to sound like me, you know?
Right, right, right. And you make and sell Chicago-centered foods. So yep. Tell us about what you offer.
So if anybody has got a hankering for Italian beef and they don't live in Chicago, we ship it to you in 2 days. It comes with the Toronto bread, any one of our jardineras, the sausage, the gravy, and the best possible meat you can ever imagine. We're the only one who's got the stones to do USDA prime Italian beef, shaved super thin. I brought you one. So you eat this beef, there's no resistance. It melts in your mouth. It's so well marbled, you think you're eating A5 Wagyu. So we're just, we've been growing for the last 4 years. I have a cheeseburger on every United Bistro on board menu. So it's like the first time you can get like real good jardinera on a plane via a burger that I produced. It's crazy.
Where does your passion for this condiment come from? Because, I mean, even on your company's website, you say you started it so that you could produce the world's first craft jardinera.
Yeah, well, I grew up going to Caputo's, going to these delis, going everywhere and seeing an aisle, right? Especially when you move to another city such as LA and you don't see jardinera anywhere. And I knew that going there. I mean, it's a hyper-regional, it's a very regional delicacy, if you will, that for us growing up, I call it a table staple. Every meal is on the thing. My parents used to keep it in the cabinet, not even the fridge. We all almost died of botulism. But like we put it on pasta. We put it on salads. We put it on sandwiches. Put it on eggs. It was just always there for a little extra kick. And I'd go to the store and I'd like look at the aisles and I'd always choose mine based on, you know, not like reputation or whatever it calls out were on the label, but by color. So I kind of started with, let me make a jardinera that pops out. Stands out on the shelves and has in color equals flavor. And then once we start thinking about color, we do orange habaneros, red jalapenos, serranos, pimento olives, you know, and then expertly cut carrots, cauliflower, celery. So it's this medley that so well constructed that it lays on everything nice, you know? So I really did kind of bring it back to the roots and reinvent it and make it better, but it still tastes like home.
You brought us some treats to try.
I brought that from home.
I think it's time.
I built it back for you. But that
I can smell
is,
it. I can't wait any longer. Can we eat? Do you have a sandwich too? Or
I do.
Me?
No, you can totally eat it. But I was going to save this for your one of your guys, your engineer there.
Yeah,
Tara.
Oh, for sure. We'll get Ethan a sandwich later, for sure.
Well, I just came from two sandwich reviews. I did Rico Benes and Conte di Savoia on Taylor Street, two classics. So I'm not. And then I had two pieces of pizza at Rico Benes. Shout out to Rico Benes Pizza. Good stuff.
Are these hot peppers on my sandwich?
Those are mild because I heard you don't like the zing or the zip.
You're already passing the test, Jeff. Here we go.
Do you see the color on that?
Oh, it's beautiful. Let me take a bite. Hold on.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
I cannot.
Don't take her sandwich.
Security. I cannot with you.
That was more of like a panther, you know?
Oh, God.
Isn't it so good? Our probably most popular division right now of Marl Provisions is restaurant sales. Like we have wholesale packs of this that we, you know, run through distributors who deliver ourselves to restaurants and pizzerias all over the city. It's a difficult space to play in. You know, it's almost like organized crime. It's like the mafia. You got to like really, you got to create a stronghold. You got to, you know, there's war. The Jardinera wars have been pretty intense. I knew two guys, their cars blew up selling Jardinera. It's bad. And that was probably because they left it in the trunk too long and it's a fermented product and it just blew up. It wasn't a bomb, but like, it's just been so fun because we created this beef without any, you know, these guys inject their beef with like salt water and soy proteins and all these fillers to pump up the weight.
Yeah.
So when they cook it, it ends up weighing the same as if they didn't pump it up. They're not losing money. We just have it clean, simple,
and
delicious.
This is delicious. We would be remiss not to mention the current show that you co-host on the Food Network, The Kitchen.
Oh, boy.
Tell me a bit more about your role there and what the show's about.
Well, we're about to film in a couple weeks our 39th season. I think we're hitting 500 episodes this run.
Okay, congrats.
So it's me, Jeffrey Zakarian, Sonny Anderson, Katie Lee. And it's just we're friends and we cook and it's like showing up to hang out with your friends, but it's just fun. And I love going to work. I love being able to experience other people's food, learn from them, my co-host, but also, you know, when it's time for me to be at the helm and do a demo, it's just a joy. And then my new season of Worst Cooks in America premiered on Sunday, Celebrity Edition, Heroes vs. Villains, with the kookiest cast you can ever imagine. So Check me out on that. It's fun.
Nice. You bring so much Chicago pride to all that you do, as we said before. I mean, what do you feel is so special about this city that you've just infused it into your career, like, so much?
I love it so much. I love the people. I spend a lot of my time in other cities, mostly New York, a lot of Jersey, now London, mm-hmm. Utah. But I've spent most of my career shooting and working in New York. I lived in LA for 4 years. I know other cities. I spend months in London now shooting a show. I know giant cosmopolitan metropolises. This is the best one.
Nothing compares.
It's the best. And I'll tell you why. We work so hard. We have crappy winters that we work even harder through. It's about that revival during spring when the city opens up and you have that first kind of crisp day where the sun's shining and people are like, very prematurely, like al fresco dining outside. You're like, slow down, Johnny Tank Tops.
Right.
All right.
The
you
shorts.
Got like three dogs next to you, and there's still like ice on the ground. They're like, I love it. It's those moments. It's the authenticity of the people here. It's the fact that I did, you know, generally, you know, I have three siblings, my parents, I have 16 first cousins, and we all live in the same kind of vicinity. And I tried moving away from that. And the city, the family, the food call me back. And it's funny, when I finally moved back here, it's like when my career happened and things made sense. I'll never leave.
You're still repping Chicago wherever you go.
I can't. I can't not. That's why I got this tattoo of Lake Michigan on my lower back. No, I'm kidding.
That I can't see right now. Let me make sure that's clear.
It's covered up by my Tommy John
Well,
band.
Chicago loves you right back, Jeff.
We'll
leave it there because I want to get back to my sandwich. We've been talking with celebrity chef and sandwich king Jeff Morrow, co-host of The Kitchen on the Food Network and owner of Morrow Provisions. Thank you so much for coming in today. What a light you are.
Thank you, Sasha. I'll come back anytime. I mean, if you need a permanent co-host, I got nothing going on.
We'll
I'm kidding, but I'm not leaving till you eat that whole sandwich. It's part of the rules.
All right, here we go. Bite number two. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ari Mejia. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Micah Yasin. I love food, and if you do too, you do not want to miss our conversations with chefs, home cooks, mixologists, and more every Thursday. Subscribe to the pod so that you don't miss it. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.